One, if anybody needs Vanna to come around, raise your hand. Tom, Vanna, Schlittenhart. And if he doesn't see your arm up, just say, hey, you. Thank you for being here once again on a Sunday morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, a little different morning with this celebration of ministry. I mean, we celebrate our ministry every day and every week. But just want to highlight once again the reasons we have to celebrate our ministry, and also just to give an opportunity for our boards. We have four boards and several areas of ministry, such as Worship Arts Committee, Prayer Committee, Altar Team, Women's Studies, Men's Studies. Give them an opportunity, a formal opportunity, to share what they do week in and week out to keep our ministry vibrant. All right. So again, part of our focus here as a celebration of ministry is emphasizing we are connecting with God and connecting with the community. That's why we're here. So God has blessed us with the opportunity to increase and cement verbal and horizontal relationships. And part of that opportunity is also through our school, our JK through eighth grade. So again, God help us glorify, grow, and go. On page two, celebration of ministry, the purpose is again to keep you informed in a heightened way. This is kind of more of an overview regarding the various ministries here at and through St. Mark's. And as you go through the campus in a little bit, we're hoping to just kind of whet the appetite here. And then as you get to the boards and area of ministries, hopefully it'll spark some questions to ask them, or how can I get involved in that area of ministry or help that board do its work. Outcomes that we'd like to see. So again, as many members as possible informed. We try to do that verbally through announcements, the weekly news, the church bulletin, website, email blasts, and so forth. And it's still never enough. But we do what we can, and we'll keep working on that. We want everyone to be engaged, to be involved as time and ability allows in our ministry here at St. Mark's, to have an ownership of ministry, to see this as an us ministry, not a them ministry. And that also applies to our church body, the Wisconsin Synod, that it's not an us versus them. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Support through prayer, time, and talent. So again, if you don't have opportunity, or you don't feel like you have a talent, a niche for a certain area of ministry that's being offered, but you can still pray for that area of ministry and all the ministry here at St. Mark's. And then through gifts, someone may not have the time and ability, but they have the financial means, or they may not have the financial means, but they have time and ability. And again, we can all pray. A reminder that we're part of something bigger. I mentioned the Wells, our church body. In all 50 states and throughout the world, 25-plus countries, God has blessed us. You know, we operate over 20 Lutheran area high schools. We have two synodical schools, plus a teacher-pastor training school in Minnesota, and one in our seminary in Wisconsin. And God is good putting opportunities before us. But not just the Wells. We're part of something bigger, the Christian church and the invisible church. And what a connection with past believers, present believers, and yet to come, as long as this world endures. And so let us never forget the opportunity to celebrate now because of that, and the celebration that's going to take place in heaven with all our fellow believers. Seeds that have been planted, that you may not see the fruits of those seeds now, but like with the Apostle Paul, you'll be able to see him in heaven. Keeping in mind, nearly everything we do, not just as a church, but as individuals, has a gospel impact, right? So that leads us to page three. Spiritual reflection as we celebrate God's goodness among us. What kind of model are you? Will you make it on the cover of People magazine or not? These words from Thessalonians, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, this is going to be just a quick look at these words. I won't be too in-depth, but they're key words for us as they were for the believers then. First of all, just a thank you. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, was always thankful to God for the people he was privileged to share the gospel with. And thank you. What a privilege, right? That we are able to work together, partner together, to glorify God, to grow in his grace, and to go with his gospel here at St. Mark's. What was Paul thankful about? Three things. Right away. Shout them out. Faith, right? The work produced by faith. What else? The endurance, right? Inspired by hope. And? Yeah, your labor prompted by love. So you got that faith, love, and hope mentioned there. And it all prompted something, right? They were known for this. The faith that God had given to them. And they became known for their faith. And they didn't just sit on that faith. They used that faith to plant seeds, right? And that was prompted by love, love for God, and the love for that gospel. And then the endurance, we're going to build on that in a moment, inspired by hope, not just a wish, but that certainty, which was rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what was behind the reasons mentioned in connection to being thankful? What was all the glue for that thankfulness? Yeah, God had chosen them. You know, the love of God that was shown to them through Jesus Christ and calling them to be his own. And so that gospel came not just with words, but with power. Romans 1, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it's that power to bring people to salvation. So what confidence do we have and should we have when it comes to faith, our calling, and ministry? Yeah, the word produces effects. It's the dynamite, right? And who's given us this gospel? Who's behind our ministry? We didn't come up with this ministry. You know, God has given us the opportunity to be here. And again, what's the key in our ministry? Because what can change? The key is always the word, right? The purpose for why we're here and how we get that purpose out and about may change, right? Technology is far different than what it was 50 years ago. And so we can use technology to spread the gospel. Well, we didn't use it 50 years ago, so we shouldn't use it now. Well, that'd be a waste of God's gift of technology that he's given to the world today, right? What made the efforts of these believers even more remarkable? Yeah, they're in the midst of persecution and suffering. And keep in mind, Paul was with these believers a limited time, 3 weeks. And so he was concerned that their faith that had been planted in them was going to die out because of that persecution. That's why Paul left, because those persecutors of Paul kept coming after him. And then they would take on the believers. So Paul, I'm going to get out of town. Maybe they'll let up on these believers. But they didn't. And so Paul sends Timothy back, and Timothy said, not only has that faith not been lost, it's blossomed as infants here, right? So who benefited from the actions of these believers in Thessalonica? Who benefited from the actions?
They were models to the believers at Macedonia and
So not only did they themselves benefit by being in the gospel and remaining into it, they were a model. Others around them, surrounding areas, benefited. Encouragement to endure the persecution, to not sit on that faith, but to do acts prompted by love. And then what was the goal of their efforts along with the motive? Yeah, make their faith known to other people. Remember, towards the end there, it says, how you turn to God, the living God, from idols. And how many people are worshiping idols today? And so there's definitely a need to model what the true God looks like. And there's ways to do that. Like the Apostle Paul would go into a city and he'd look around and he would pick items that people could relate to. He didn't hang up a sign and say abortion's wrong. You know, he would go build a rapport with the people and talk about those abortion clinics. And, hey, what's going on in there? You know, he would always find a way to get it back to the gospel, weaving in and out. And what else was a goal of their efforts? To let people know who the true God is.
And their faith is known everywhere.
Their faith became known everywhere for the purpose of, verse 10. Yeah, the whole judgment day. To wait for the Son who was going to return. Because it all again goes back to the Son. And what he has done to win our salvation, our peace with God now, and eternal life. And so how do these words apply to us? In your own words, how would you sum up what the Apostle Paul is saying? How are we to be a model? How are you a model? Yeah, to be a light in this world, to set the example. You know, you're in a conversation of people who are using the F word. Do you have to use it as well, or can you refrain from using the F word? Maybe they'll pick up on it, maybe they won't. I mean, you don't have to be a prude about it right away, but there are subtle ways to get the point across, and if you have a certain rapport, you can just come out and say, hey, I don't like using that word. Appreciate if you wouldn't either. I mean, there's other examples that we can go on. How else would you apply these words? Again, individually and collectively, because there's always two ways to look at it. Individually, we are lights, and collectively, we are lights. Any other points before we move on? How to apply these words?
We as missions, whatever we do here, spreads and helps them.
Yeah, the labor we do here, it spreads, like those Wells connections. I mean, the whole point of those is to show how those CMO dollars that we give to the Wells, in a sense, us, has an impact on the world. And even the dollars that we use here for our ministry, we run that school where we can offer a Christian education with a Lutheran flavor, and how we can, you know, worship services. So as you're coming to worship, as you're going, hey, I'm going to a movie night at our church. What? They have a movie night? What? We have popcorn and soft tacos, right? You know, what a good deal. Come and invite. So part of this is you're going to see as you go around, especially at the outreach table, there are opportunities to invite people in a subtle way to get connected to our ministry, and then you can go from there. Hey, this is, why do you go to that church? And so forth. Right? So comment. Ministry is not just about being busy.
Much more than that. Sunday morning is nice, you're busy, you come, you do. That's the easiest part of being in the ministry. It's the everyday living where you show it as part of your everyday life. Not just, oh, say this, you know, and do this, or come up and clean up once a year, twice a year. It's an everyday event for you that you do it.
Yeah, I mean, every day, right, we're going to be salt and light. And there's, whatever avenue we are in at that point. And again, sometimes do we equate being busy with ministry? And is busy always the best thing? You know, sometimes you become a jack of all trades and master of nothing. You know, what is our niche? And so, like, you're talking to a group of pastors in Southern California. Maybe some of you heard me this before. We're not out to compete with the Baysides and so forth. They got different resources than we do. But we have a different niche and different focus. So, we want Christ preached in whatever format. And so our goal is not to compete with Bayside. They have an ice rink. Let's do a bigger ice rink. But what else can we do? You know, we can do the intimate movie nights and so forth. All right. That's just a caution that because we fill up our calendar doesn't necessarily mean we're doing ministry. And also remember, too, part of it as we work with the school, you know, we come up with connection events where we're not competing amongst ourselves even for time because we're going, you know, we're same volunteers and so forth. So the purpose of a model is someone to follow. Something to follow, right? And so those words in the bottom, right? We are ambassadors. God has given us this ministry. He gives us the words to speak. He's given us the gifts, time, and talents to make an impression on people. The believers in Thessalonica made an impression on people. That's not what they set out to do, but that's what it ended up becoming. And, we want to be healers. Our world is in need of healing. And God has given you the message to offer healing. And a map. What's that got to do with the model? Let's think of Psalm 119, right? That's you, right? You have the word. You are a GPS for the world, right? Go and make disciples, right? So we need to keep our GPS squared away by staying connected to the means of grace. All right, page 4, value statement. Again, this goes at the heart of why we exist. So just a reminder of core values that we adopted as a congregation a few years back under our mission statement of glorifying God, growing in His grace, and going with His gospel. You can see those core values. There's 5 main core values and then some aspirational values on the bottom. Those don't change. This is why we exist. You know, it's a means of grace ministry. And we want to emphasize, as we turn to page 5, we want to emphasize we put these core values in the practice, because no matter the size, again, we may not be the St. Mark's size that we were back in the 80s. You know, we've been on a decline since the late 80s, 88. But are we still a vibrant congregation? I mean, is there activity going on? Are you sharing the gospel locally and abroad? Are you coming to worship? Is it still offered? Is there a school? Are there volunteers? Are you still living? Right? Sometimes we go, we're not like we used to be. And maybe that's good. But, you build off of that. They left a legacy for us, and we're leaving a legacy for the next generation. We keep on building. But the point is, what is it that makes us vibrant? Not how many members we have, the gospel. And that's why the means of grace has to be always at that core value. All right, so how do we continue to put these core values into practice day after day? This is where the boards and area ministries come in. We have means of grace worship. We're growing in God's word for all ages. There are opportunities there. One of the things that we're going to, I'll say that for a second, lost sheep focused, right? Our board of elders focus on that along with our outreach group. Financial stability, our board of stewardship primarily focuses on that along with the executive council. You can see ways there that financial stability is attained. Bottom line, St. Mark's Ministries is a vibrant ministry, for we have been given identity, motive, and purpose. We are God's people for the purpose of growing up in Him and sharing the gospel. And then the motive is the love of Christ compels us to do that. Page 6. Again, this is just priming the pump as you go around. We have responsibilities by the boards, the executive council, the ministry admin team. You can see what their primary responsibilities are. This is not an exhaustive list. Thank these guys. Mike and Tom and Dan serve on the executive council. They're assisting the boards and the areas of ministries as they do their work on behalf of us as a congregation. Again, we may have a tendency to come to worship, but do you realize an altar team put all that out together? You know, they come in on Saturdays and they make sure it's good on Sundays, and then during the week, the candles have fluid, so when the ushers come, it actually lights. You know, we have someone who, you know, cleans the church and so forth. There's people behind the scenes, right? And some people come here on a Tuesday and go, I didn't think anybody would be here. Well, there's a school there that's operating 5 days a week. They're here at 4 o'clock. Yeah, there's basketball practice taking place. You're here at 7 o'clock. Yeah, there's meetings and Bible studies that happen at night. You know, there is activity. It's because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening, right? Board of Elders, our ministry care team to help glorify and grow. You see what happens there. Board of Stewardship, our ministry management team to help us grow again in God's grace. Operating a special fund income, campus maintenance. Board of Child Discipleship, our ministry education team, again, to help us grow. And then our Board of Outreach, ministry connections team to help us go with the gospel. Again, that Food Truck Friday was one of those. What's coming up, Easter egg hunt. You'll see that under the outreach table. Page 7, not without purpose. Again, our 10-year effort to finish off paying the mortgage, to raise money for tuition assistance. So when we give out assistance to families in our school, we're not just writing it off. We're actually able to give them a need, money. So for this last year, we offered close to $43,000 in tuition assistance. We were able to take it from the tuition assistance fund and transfer it to our operating fund. What a gift. So thank you for the generosity by God's grace, rather than having to write that $43,000 off and put us in a hole. So thankfully, our tuition assistance fund has reached the $100,000 mark. Right, and we always, our goal is to have at least $50,000 ready for the following school year. So, thank you by God's grace. See, something to celebrate that we've been able to do that. Our mortgage, right? We cut it in half with not without purpose. One, what a blessing in 2 years, and it's scheduled to be paid off in 10 years, regardless by 2030. If we can pay it off sooner, that's $8,000 more, give or take, that we have for other ministry. But again, you can see the numbers there, what we've been able to do in the last couple of years. Campus improvements, you can look down that list. This is what we've been able to do as part of Not Without Purpose 2 by God's grace. He's made funds available. We have reason to celebrate. We're making improvements on our campus, and there's a whole list of them. There's a lot of stuff being done, and there's more in the works. On the bottom of the page, some of the things that are on the radar. They may get bumped as other priorities come up. I just want to emphasize, too, we've also been blessed with an emergency fund. Not to rest on our laurels, but, you know, to replace that gym roof, what do you think it costs? $20,000? $40,000? Close to $80,000. So if that thing were starting to leak, we could cover it now. But then, you know, without trying to figure out, boy, we're going to come with that. So God has blessed us with good management, and we don't want to take it for granted. And we want to keep building off of it. But just want to, again, keep everybody in the loop. Again, the rose garden, the trees came down. We're still working on, it's almost there, a plan. The committee's been working on a plan that we'll be able to show you what it could look like. There is a purpose for that area. And we'll do it in stages. Again, we're trying to be mindful with the financial resources that God has given to us, right? And then nothing takes away from our primary focus of proclaiming the gospel. Next page there, page 8, other reasons to celebrate, building on what has taken place. Just a reminder, right? 50th anniversary, we were able to celebrate a few years ago. Not Without Purpose 1 and what that accomplished by God's grace. We hit almost all the goals except for one. We didn't start a high school, and that's okay. We weren't ready. But there's some amazing things that have come, which we'll talk about in the future about that. 50th anniversary of our school, making it through the pandemic. You know, some churches have closed. People have said, you know, we're thankful that you stayed open because our church closed. Other reasons to celebrate abounds, updating Christian worship, the hymnal, talk to the elders about that. We're still offering our elementary school. It's accredited and so forth. Support of the mission effort in Elk Grove. We're going to build on that. We have an opportunity. St. Andrew's was closed. But again, through subtraction, addition comes through subtraction. And so we have an opportunity to use that closure and the sale of that campus to get something going in Elk Grove, similar to getting foundation started in Folsom. So we're working on that. And then review of ministry staffing needs. What are direct ministry needs that we have, and then indirect ministry needs. We're working on that too. So again, we can glorify, grow, and go using God's blessings accordingly. And then just the tentative community connections calendar. We're trying to be active with outreach and inreach. And so you just see a list of things that are coming up. It's not an exhaustive list. So that is what I have in a nutshell. Thank you for your time. Again, go to the boards, area of ministries, and check it out. So we're going to divide you up into three groups. All right? Group one is going to go with Tom. And Bentley, is Bentley around? How many people would you have? How many? 66. So if